Philadelphia, Philadelphia, are you ready? City of brotherly love, home of smoking Joe Frazier. Come on. It's about that time. FetLifeStation.com. Philly Fridays, baby. Come on.
Dress properly, he's gonna have to leave.
Properly?
Today, so I'm gonna wear a dress.
What's up?
Gentlemen, they dress, I'm gonna get them to leave. Is there a problem?
Problem is, your man here says we're not properly dressed, like our money ain't green. We just want a couple of beers.
Two beers, that's it.
That's it, we'll be on our way. You ain't looking for trouble.
Spoke like a gentleman.
I appreciate it.
All right.
You got some booze down here. Next cold one. Got some nice cold booze. Come on.
One more beer. Alright, brothers. Fight me. Toast.
Wow. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Hey. Oh, you again. That wasn't very nice. Now he's gotta leave. I'll tell you when the fuck we leave. All right, get the fuck out of here.
Watch the bikes, man. I will never forget the look on their faces. All eight of them. Their faces dropped. All their courage and strength was drained right from their bodies. They had a reputation for breaking up bars, but they knew that instant they made a fatal mistake. This time they walked into the wrong bar.
What more do you want from me?
Oh, yeah. Y'all thought that because we got here a little late tonight, that y'all were going to be able to get out. Y'all going to be able to slide past the bouncer. But as my man said, now you can't leave. Welcome, 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 family, to another edition of Office Hours with your brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones, here live on Philly Fridays. Shouting out, coming to you from North Philadelphia, Area Ave to be precise, on FetLifeStation.com. You know, just a beautiful evening for it to be this late in the year. Temperatures are a balmy 46 degrees. And we're loving it here. We're loving it here. As, you know, one of my favorite television series, was The Wire. And on The Wire, he had the magnetic character, smooth, calm and collected. Brother known by the name of Stringer Bell, played by Idris Elba, of course. And on one of the episodes, he was talking about how regular, like the work was subpar. And he was talking about how nobody cares about a 40-degree day. You know, 50-degree day catches outside in their hoodies. 60-degree day, Negroes is practically out there barbecuing. But a 40-degree day is just a 40-degree day, and don't nobody really give a damn about a 40-degree day.
What?
Don't nobody give a damn about a 40-degree day.
What?
We'll take them John down here all the time around the fall for 40-degree days in Philadelphia, especially the 40-degree nights. Yo, man, there's always something in the news, man. I probably always have my show dated because I keep up with the current events. What kind? And for those of you who have not been paying attention, man, Jonathan Majors has made the news again. His current court trial is going on. Court case is one of the weirdest cases I've ever heard, where either him or his girlfriend, one of them is going to go to jail for domestic violence. And a video was just released recently that showed Jonathan Majors breaking loose and breaking free. I believe it was in New York, if I'm not mistaken. Man, the brother was running through Manhattan. She was on his ass. She was walking him down like Jason Voorhees. His girlfriend by the name of Grace Jabari. Jabari. Who the hell was her father? Last name like Jabari. We got to inspect that, do some inspection. You know what I mean? We got to investigate that. But anyway, man, yeah. So I hope the brother can run out of this case. You know what I'm saying? You know how these brothers are typically guilty until proven innocent. And, you know, he lost a lot of endorsement deals. Brothers are always losing stuff. And even just brothers at this time. Johnny Depp lost a lot of things when I can't even remember the young lady's name that was brutalizing him and terrorizing him. I mean, Jesus Christ. When I watched that case, and you saw all the stuff that was happening to Johnny Depp, he was a prisoner in his own marriage. You got to get away from the chameleons, brothers. I'm trying to told you. And the chameleons ain't just black women. God damn. It's funny. Shout out to, first of all, shout out to my brother Joseph Ward and Patrick Irvin. Shout out to my brothers on the shoulders of giants. Always dropping the heat. Y'all want to check out what we just dropped today. I'm trying to tell y'all. We was responding to a bunch of ladies that said that that their weight gain was the process of racism, white supremacy. And I know y'all ain't gonna believe this shit, but they literally said they were fat because of white supremacy. Look, man, something like Kevin Samuels used to say, you can't make this shit up. And so I'm just sitting here trying to actually, you know, have a scholastic conversation about the issues with obesity in the black community, because it's a very serious health issue. And I get tired of the fact that we consistently try to find reasons to legitimize bad situations we're in. Not from the standpoint of recognizing the dilemma, but while we shouldn't have to fight to get out of it, while we should be just maintaining, while we should just stay there and get stuck in the mud and sort of like quicksand, we're trapped, we can't move. Listen, if your life ain't worth fighting for, just say that then. Because I'll be damned if I go out like that. And I've had my own health issues in the past. And as you get older, you accumulate health issues, but you got to stay on top of it. You got to keep fighting. You got to work out. You got to take the right supplements. You got to see medical professionals. If you don't see medical professionals, at least see people who are, what I say, proficient in your field, in that field of health and wellness. Because I don't always subscribe to Western medicine. or the practices of Western medicine. Western medicine is too quick to chop stuff off and take stuff out of you and pump you with pills and things of that nature. And a lot of times you take a test, blood test, they'll just say, oh, your blood work is fine. They won't even let you see the damn results. So, you know, but I will say, make sure you're taking care of your health. And ladies, good Lord, y'all have got to stop finding reasons to be victims. You know, it's funny, right? I just came from a work dinner and a program that I work for. I just started working with these with this organization. It's ran by black women. And let me tell you something. There wasn't no excuses being made at that table. These sisters was on the ball. They fighting for better wages, better opportunities, expansion of the business, and they want to pull more brothers in. That's what I'm talking about. When I start talking about how the United Daughters of the Confederacy looked out for their men, that's the type of stuff I'm talking about. We could learn a lot from what I just experienced tonight in terms of dealing with these sisters. A lot of sisters can learn a lot from that. Where when you love your community and you love your people, you do for your people. You open doors for your people. You don't just say, I got mine, you got to get yours, you got to level up this, that, and the other. No, I'm going to pour something in your pool so you can rise, in, so we can create this thing Obama talked about with rising tide. But we got to do that ourselves, because what he was talking about was different than what we're talking about. So, you know, there was somebody in the comments a few weeks ago, and I was going to let this sleeping dog lie because, you know, but I'm gonna speak to it because I've been also on Lapeef, and I'm gonna get to that part too because I was on a Lapeef. I've been on a Lapeef network for the last couple of weeks, and you know, on their King's Talk, and so you know, it's just brothers. I don't do the cross table conversations with the ladies. I just don't think they're productive. I just think that's good theater. I just don't think they're productive. But I like the conversation when the brothers are working and ironing things out. And the conversation came up about recognizing chameleons. You're talking about Ebony K. Williams and recognizing chameleons. And I spoke about the encounter I had with the chameleon. And one of the brothers brought up something that was really interesting. Because it was kind of like, you know, what's that song that Lauryn Hill made famous? Feeling my pain with your, with your words. Singing my pain with your words. Killing me softly. The brother literally, like, talking about certain circumstances, situations that I've had to deal with. He was talking about the types of women you run from. And he said, you know, one of the types of women you run from are the ones that want to get you back. The ones that want to get even. And I thought about it. I mean, I thought about it. Like, I think about, like, now I think about, like, hell. But back then, I thought I was out clean. I was out smooth. And it took me 6 weeks after the breakup to break free of the chameleon. Because, you know, chameleons are nothing but hyenas in disguise. And when they get their clutches in you, boy, let me tell you. When they get their clutches in you, it's like they got you in their sights, homie. You got to pay attention. So it was an interesting conversation. And then, you know, I said one of the things I want to do with that is spread awareness, man. Brothers, if you're dealing with a person and that person doesn't get along with members of their own family, and that person has told you time and time again how they've ghosted people in the past, ghosted men in the past, how they've, you know, broken away from men in the past, yo, that is your red flag. That is the red, listen, that is the red sea of flags. You need to break free from that situation. Often we've been told that we break off too early and we don't give relationships a chance. Brothers, I'm telling you right now, in the toxic age and era that we're dealing with right now, you don't want to be sticking around too long. You end up getting hurt. You end up getting hurt. We already know, fam. She don't like you, fam. We already know that. And I'm going to tell you, man, I'm going to get into something a little later on about the ones who do like you. Because there are some women in this world that do like it. And as a man, you should always deal with a woman that likes you, that's more into you than you are to her. It doesn't mean that you're going to treat her bad. It doesn't mean that you don't have love, affection, and caring for this person. But what it does mean is she will be into you. She'll be able to be more so cooperative. Because that's what I really wanted to talk about when I was just speaking about the person that chimed in and hit the comment section that I responded to a few weeks ago. Ladies, I'm going to just say this to y'all. One of the biggest failures of the communication between black men and black women is that black men, from my experience and just from my observation, black men want to have a conversation. Sisters, a lot of y'all want to have competition. It ain't the same conversation. It's not the same situation. So instead of seeing a situation with a man and say, hey, how can I compliment that situation or how do we compliment each other? It's, oh, well, I'm the CEO of this. I'm doing this over here. What you doing? And it's like, instead of saying, okay, let's see how these pieces add up, you're looking to see what's your leverage in the situation. And often, too many times, that becomes a battle. That becomes a fight. I'll never forget, man. One of the woman I was truly in love with. I wanted to go visit her in her hometown, and we had made a plan. I had this is when I was working as an administrator in a secondary ed high school. It was between 6th and 12th grade. And we had the summers off. So I said, okay, I'm going to go down here and drive down and spend 2 weeks with you. From the first day I got there, her whole attitude changed. The hyena came out all walking on the back legs, all out there. When I tell you, it was like a party or something for her brother's birthday. I pulled up, and me and her brother was cool. We still, I don't even have no problems with her right now. But that, her whole demeanor, attitude, I heard little girls at the party talking about some, see, she always the boss in her relationships. And it caught me off guard, because I didn't even know me and her were in that type of relationship. Her best friend came over. It was like standoffish and just rude and just all out of nowhere. I'm like, who the fuck is this person that I came down here to shack up with? Like, seriously. And by the end of the 2 weeks, the relationship was over. It was just a bad, toxic experience. And it was just horrible. It was a horrible experience. And it was something that, it told me a lot. Like, you really don't know about a person until you spend some time with them. Like, but that whole notion of competing, she was competing to let them know, to put on the show that she was in charge. Now, I can tell you a lot more about that. What happened after that relationship? We didn't have a bad back and forth after that relationship. That it ended amicably, and some things carried on afterwards. I'll just say that. You know what I'm saying? But we realized the relationship wasn't for us. We had chemistry in other areas. I'll just leave it like that. But a relationship just wasn't for us. Now, why is it that we can't understand that it's a complementary situation? The reason why I bring up the United Daughters of the Confederacy so much is because those women took the most disgraced man on this continent. The white Southern, they used to call him the white Southern cracker. Excuse the language, because I don't know whether or not that's going to get us. But that's what they called him, right? And it was the white man who lost the Civil War. The Confederate soldier was the most disgraced man in America. More disgraced than the Native Americans who had practically ran into extinction and placed on reservation. It was like the black thing came up a little bit after the Civil War in terms of our public image. Even black men were seen as more prestigious, more respected. than the southern white man who lost the Civil War. That's why they had to come up with the Ku Klux Klan, and they had to start, you know, these white nationalist outfits. They start creating unions to keep black men out of work. Black men were building townships and things of that nature while these cats were just sitting around there feeling sorry for themselves. The United Daughters of the Confederacy, and I'm actually reading their book right now. What is it called? The Dixie Daughters? What is the book name that I'm reading right now? Dixie's Daughter. I'm actually reading that book right now. And one of the things that they talked about was how they understood that they had to raise the esteem of their men. Because they needed to restore the valor of their nation. They still considered themselves not a part of the Union. They actually still called it the War of Northern Aggression, and that they weren't quite finished with the Civil War. This is why they were so eager to gun down all those black townships in the South and the Midwest that had organized. And they got together. This is why they were able to do that. The Daughters of the Confederacy changed the narrative of who these men were. They started off with identifying heroes in their community. Jefferson Davis, who was the president of the Confederacy, became one of their chief spokespersons. They would carry that man everywhere they went throughout the South. And that man would hold fundraising opportunities for fundraising engagements for them and so forth. Robert E. Lee, they knew that they had to put statues of them all up over. That's why he had the statues in Virginia, the statues in the Carolinas, the design of the Southern flags, all those flags that maintain their ties to the Confederacy, South Carolina, Mississippi, and Georgia. All of those states that maintain that. So one of the things you have to ask yourself, why did they do it? They did it because they wanted their men to be respectable. They actually put their men to work. They created jobs and opportunities for them, and they created institutions for their men. They created books, school books, that identified their men as heroes, so that when children were reading about their men, they would see them in a guiding light. They didn't say that their men weren't shit. They didn't say that their men were deadbeats. Even though, if you look at the culture of a lot of the Southern men, it wasn't a Southern gentleman. That man was slovenly, that man was abusive, that man was alcoholic. That man didn't bathe. There was nothing gentlemanly about that person. Chivalry didn't exist for that man. Domestic violence was regulated by them. They had to put laws in place because they can literally sexually assault or rape their woman, their wives. And it wasn't against the law. The whole concept of rape culture came from the South. But they legitimized that man. Changed his image. And then you think about some of the things that Kevin Samuels was talking about. Kevin Samuels was talking about restoring the image of black men and how important that was for the black community. He wasn't a black nationalist out in the open, but he spoke pro-black concepts. I recently read a response to one of his videos on TikTok maybe a few days ago where a sister said, I'm so glad that this man is in the grave. This is why I say she don't like you, fam. Because no matter what, you can say I disagree with his rhetoric, I didn't like his talking points, but to be glad that the band is dead, you're not just saying that to Kevin Samuels. You're saying that to all black men who don't kiss you behind, who don't pander to you. And that's why so many young brothers have turned away. And see, a lot of this, a lot of ladies, they live in echo chambers. All they do is hear each other talk. Brothers can be in a room telling them, hey, brothers ain't going for that. Brothers ain't feeling that. No, no. Yes, y'all are. Because y'all like this. Y'all like that. There's still women telling us we like eyelashes and wigs and weaves. And Brazilian butt lifts. Fake implants. Cosmetic surgery. And brothers keep telling you, this is why you have so many of your sisters getting that stuff and nobody is dealing with you seriously outside of a sexual encounter. But I digress. I digress. Because I want to formulate most of my conversation to the brothers. And so, you know, there was a, you know, typically around the time, brothers are often asked because of daylight saving time, it gets a little darker earlier. And people are doing a lot of holiday shopping. People are going to the supermarkets. And we know it's a lot of women and children and a lot of elderly, but mostly women and children going to the supermarket. And so brothers have been putting out posts on social media asking brothers that, you know, if you happen to see a sister with some children in the supermarket parking lot, can you just hang out a little bit to make sure that they get into their car safe? And I have to express to this brothers that brothers have been doing this forever. You see, unfortunately, a lot of our women don't recognize danger. So there's certain times and situations that women should not be out and engaging in. But brothers, this is one thing I will say to ladies. Brothers have been protecting you a lot longer than you know. And the disrespect that comes with that, because you get mad about one thing, and all of a sudden, you will play that old-ass Malcolm X clip. It's the only clip that I've heard of Malcolm that I despise. When you talk about the black woman is the most disrespected and unprotected woman in America, listen. That unprotected part, most of y'all don't even know when you're being protected. The reason why you don't get savagely attacked when you're alone a lot of times is because brothers are in the area. We're in the proximity of where you are. And because we're in that proximity, it holds off the coyotes. It holds off the foxes. We're the shepherds looking out so the wolves don't attack the sheep. Many of you don't even see it. At gas station, when you're out there 1, 2 o'clock in the morning to get some gas because you were running around all day and forgot to do it, and you knew that you had to get up and go to work first thing in the morning, so you wanted to get gas before you went back in. Set your alarm to get gas in the daytime when the sun is up. It's not safe. Laundry mats is not safe. But still, brothers will still be around in the area. You'll never see him because y'all don't see danger. Danger lurks all around. Y'all like little Red Robin Hood roams through the woods. There's wolves out there hunting you down. But the only thing that protects you are the shepherds that are making sure the wolf know where in the area. And the wolves don't want this smoke. But, so that was my PSA, my public service announcement. The brothers are making sure that everybody's okay. trust and believe. With as bad as times are getting right now, people's stomach is touching their backs. They're getting passing laws in Philly where you can't even wear a ski mask like a $2,500 fine. And it's starting to get cold. We out there. So I'm gonna play a couple clips real quick, man. Cause you know we at that point, man, in the show where we can hear it. A few clips. I'm gonna play a few clips. So I want y'all to hear because you know I also have been putting together programs where I'm talking to brothers and when I'm working with brothers and we're talking about things that brothers are going through. So I want y'all to hear one of the clips, and I know I played this clip a while back, but this is a oldie but goodie. This is a short conversation between Van Jones and Busta Rhymes. Hold on, hold tight, y'all. Because I want to make sure.
Same one.
Hold on.
Black man ain't no.
Pause that real quick. Now I'm going to shut the music down so y'all can hear this clearly. All right, because we need to make sure y'all hear this whole thing going. All right, let's get it.
But even black men were not saints, we're not legends, we're not icons like yourself. We don't talk. We ain't allowed to show no weakness, brother. Same one. Black men ain't allowed to show no weakness. And that's one of the most traumatic things in the world. A black man that might actually need some help. He might really need some help. It's challenging for you to bring yourself to a place of comfort to call someone to tell them that you really need some help and ask for it and not be afraid that somebody is going to take that situation that you're going through and exploit that shit to embarrass you or humiliate you. So,
we walk alone.
You definitely, majority of the time, you walk alone.
But even
so, and I want y'all to really understand what that meant. You know, I've been working, you know, like I said, I've been doing group therapy and running support groups for brothers here in Philly. We really just got started with this particular group. And one of the things that the notions that come up, every time I try to, you know, get the brothers to speak about how things impact them, they pretty much are programmed to see the world from a place where they can be of service to other people. And actually generate, that's where they generate their pride from. That's where, you know, they get their acceptance from. That's how they see their place in the world. Now, the reason I bring that up, because when I ask them to expound on their pain, ask them to expound on issues that of concern, we're so used to not being able to talk that we don't know how to effectively communicate our trauma. We don't know how to effectively communicate our issues. And so we try to basically get our validation from our value to other people. And that's the walking alone part. Now, who was our first teacher when it comes to communication and learning and everything? Our mothers are our first teacher. And I was blessed to have had a mother who allowed me to communicate, allowed me the ability of expression, and gave me an avenue to vent. Most brothers are told to shut up and take it You better not be crying in here. I'm going to give you something to cry for. This is as a 2 and 3 year old. Your most formative years of learning are between the ages of 1 and 5. So what lessons are being permeated throughout the annals of time when that's where you start at, foundational? And you don't need to hear from me. You can hear it from Auntie Yalabazan. You can hear her speaking. Listen to Yalabazan as she was on girl show. The young lady used to be on the Breakfast Club. I don't always, remember her name. But listen to this right here.
Vices for too long. I find women to be mean as hell. I'm sorry.
Gosh. Am I mean? Oh, yes. Jackson, are you mean?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I'm straightforward too.
Yeah.
I'm in your face and on your book, but I'm not mean.
Okay. Are you aggressive?
No, I'm assertive.
Okay.
I'm not aggressive.
What's the difference?
Well, first of all, your intention.
Okay.
And assertiveness, it's about dominion and accomplishing a particular thing. And aggressive, it's about control and getting what you're going for.
Okay.
There's a difference. One comes from the head, one comes from the heart. Assertion comes from the heart. Aggression comes from the head. And it's ego and control. And women today, I find, certain generations of women today are extremely aggressive, unkind, unloving, and mean as hell. Devices for too long.
Mm-hmm.
I find this for...
And y'all heard. Now, who did she think? Now, it ain't just that women are mean to each other. Let me wind this back. It ain't that just women are mean to each other. Women are mean to men. Women are mean to each other. And... But it's with extra venom when it comes to the male aspect of the male side of our community. And that's where I get she don't like you, Finn. Because if you look at how conversations are generated, talking points around the fact that she won't even smile for you. Like, we are the only community where we'll say our women don't smile and greet us or thank us when we open doors. And I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it doesn't happen with regularity. It doesn't happen with regularity. Often there have to be cues and prompts. Sometimes you have to give non-visual prompts like a look. Thank you. And it's done. And listen, there's a conversation about women putting themselves in danger. I would never tell anybody to put themselves in danger. But I also think that that's not the primary reason. If a woman says, I just don't feel like smiling to you, cool. But then I shouldn't have to put my life on the line for a woman that doesn't think enough of me to smile for her. If she doesn't smile for me, I shouldn't have to put my life on the line for her. Because that's a lot. That's definitely dangerous. That's definitely something I could lose my life over. That's definitely something I could fall victim to some violence on. And I'm a big guy. I'm 6 feet. I'm 6'3". But like an offensive line. Listen. Ain't nobody gonna fight. Ain't nobody gonna use hands when they dealing with me. And then time after time, we've seen that story. So that gets me to something that, it's been the last little bit of the show on. You know, brothers and I, we're having conversations, and yes, the brothers do talk. We talk all the time. And we talk a lot about relationships, and I have a diverse group of brothers that we have these conversations with. Some brothers are married. Some brothers are in long-term relationships. Some brothers are single out here. Some brothers are looking for a relationship, looking for love, can't find it. brothers are talking about the standards they've elevated. We mostly talk about the responses we get from women and why the divorce rates are so high in the Black community. Why so many sisters are eager to break off relationships. 70%, 70 to 80% of relationships are broken off by the women. And which is funny because a sister I was reading last week before our show was rudely interrupted. My apologies for that, family. Technical difficulties, unfortunately. And she was asking, why are men marrying the mothers of their children? So, well, first of all, you know, which mothers they're going to marry? Because the women are choosing men that have multiple children to begin with. So, if they marry one woman and maybe siring one or two of their children, but they got like five or six children out here with four different women, that you're still going to have three, four women that's not, you know, they're not going to see their father. Some children, like Terrell Owens' mom, she was a side chick. So that was the reason he never saw his father. His father lived right across the street. But neither here nor there. I'm talking about the types of women that men should engage with. Brothers, especially brothers who got their lives together, brothers who are single and childless, which is 54% of the Black male population in America. And we were talking about, my good brother Patrick Irving came up with this brilliant standard. And I told him he needed to write a book on this because he's been able to expound on this. He's doing a lot of work behind the scenes on this. But he was telling us, I hope he doesn't mind me bringing this up, but you're talking about brothers, you should only deal with the rule one woman. And the rule one is that you should never deal with a woman seriously unless she's in love with the stew of you. Meaning that she is so infatuated with you that she is willing, that she is willing to do whatever it takes to make it work with you. And I'm really cliff noting this up right now, shortening it up because I don't want to give out too many of his concepts about that. But this woman has to be so much in love with you that she's in love with your shadow. That she's in love, like, and it's borderline obsessive. Just a little bit, not totally obsessive, but a little bit. To the point where she wants to be the one that makes you happy. Therefore, you will get the respect from her you deserve. You will get the care and concern you deserve. You will get her respecting the relationship. She will take into consideration how her actions reflect on you and the relationship. It won't be this thing where she's single and independent and in a relationship with you. Because that's a situationship. And so that's rule one. Rule two, she doesn't have to be a beauty queen. All she has to do is be a woman that you can be sexually aroused to. Now, that's basically breaking it down, because if you got rule one, and then you can still be attracted to this woman, you have a lot to build on foundationally with this particular woman. These are lessons that we're going to start teaching our young brothers. Identifying red flags, identifying who's into you, and identifying, yo, who don't like you, fam? Because superficial standards, which aren't really standards, they're, I don't even know if I have a good word to call it. Delusional standards, rather, of the types of leisure you have to pay for and sponsor, the types of dates you're just you become a giant. you become the prostitute getting pimped. And that's something that should not be happening. Because if she's in love with the steward you, she's not going to have a list of places you can't take her. She's not going to care where you take her. Y'all could be in a barn rolling around in hay, and she'll be right there with you. You could just be on the block sitting on the steps. And she's right there with you. So, you have to find that woman, brother. That's something we want to drive home to all of our young people, man. Because you don't deserve to be treated mean. You didn't earn that angst. Her bad decisions created that situation for which she's had to, in which she should be rebounding from. Nobody should be a lifelong trauma bomb. What I mean by trauma bomb, just walking around, just setting off nukes and easily triggered. No, it's an adult's responsibility to seek help for whatever ails them. It's an adult's responsibility. It's an adult's responsibility to surround themselves with people who are not toxic. But in the black community, there's a fish, right? And this fish only lives in toxic waters, right? And I believe it's called the Atlantic something. And I'm looking it up right now, so if I slow down, I'm looking it up because I want to make sure I get this right. Atlantic toxic fish. Okay. So the damn fish is it's a type of fish that only lives in toxic water. I believe it's called the Maloy or some shit like that. that type of fish is Atlantic Mollie. That's the name of it. Sorry, y'all. The Atlantic Mollie. That fish only lives in water that's been made toxic by with like chemical dumpings, you know, environmental, things that have made the environment extremely toxic and unsafe. Like, it's not water you can drink from. This fish can't live in clean water, it'll die. It can't live in salt water, it'll die. But it can live in a toxic stew. And it breeds in that toxic stew. It flourishes in that toxic stew. And that's what we have too much of in our community. People who breed in that toxic stew, live in that toxic stew. And I know I've been all over the place tonight, but I wanted to cover a lot of stuff. We missed out on a few things last week. That's the conscious community in our community. That's the social lights in our community. It's foundational in our community. Told y'all we just did a show earlier on the Shoulders of Giants when we were talking about the fact that people want to blame their obesity on racism and white supremacy. Listen, in the times where our people had to eat the worst food ever, obesity was not an issue. When black people had to skin the hog, eat whatever was thrown out, clean it, and still make it palatable. That's why you had so much barbecue sauce on every damn thing. And still able to escape plantations, have slave revolts. You didn't have. Nowadays, when you have so much access to information about the proper foods to eat, and yeah, sometimes we all backslide. I get my moonwalk on every now and then. But the bottom line is you have to come to a place where your health matters. Your physical health affects your mental health, affects your spiritual health. All those things are connected. And when you're toxic in any of those areas, it leaches onto the other parts of your health. So we got to get that right. We got to learn how to fix these things. But I digress, because you can talk to people till they're blue in the face. If they don't respect you enough, they're not going to change. If they're too addicted to their bad habits, they're not going to change. If, and I know that there's black people, I always say that black people suffer from the worst form of arrested development in the history of man. If you try to separate black people from their fun, you therefore become the enemy. I've nearly gotten into fights. People I've known all my life, because I said we need to take certain situations seriously. And I'm talking about really, like, really, almost. That's a block family member on social media. Or people who we grew up so close with were like family. Because it's not going to work. I can't go backwards. My growth in these areas won't allow for me to shrink myself to the place of ineptitude. I am not yet at the place where I've reached diminishing returns. I'm still in the black and growing and innovating and enterprising. I refuse to go backwards because some people want to stay where they are. Too many of us want to stay where we are. Want to be children, immature, want to be mean, want to be selfish, and the community suffers. The children suffer. The elders suffer. Elders have a role to play in this, unfortunately, because a lot of you drop the ball. But I ain't too mad at you because I know the machine you went up against. Machine we go up against right now. So, I'm about to shut it down, family. Hope everybody's enjoying this time of the year. I kind of like the weather. I love the weather when it gets a little colder, just a little bit. It's that East Coast in me. I'm used to this climate. And so, it's my time of the year. And I'm a summer baby, but I got the work boots on. I'm ready to put in some work. So that's it, family. I want to thank you all for taking your time out to tune in to Office Hours tonight. It's your good brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones. Don't forget, share this station, share the network with everybody. Fet Life Station, FetLifeStation.com. And with that said, man. Time to call the night. All right, Lester, we out of here. It's popping.
FetLifeStation.com. Your brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones, and the Office Hour.
Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain, we all have sorrow. But if we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong.
Somebody to